ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Everyone's set and ready. You know what? So am I.
The Mighty Challenge.
Yes, 25 questions in five categories. Our categories tonight are category number one, a round of golf. Category number two, pick a number between 10 and 20. Category number three, treasure trove. Category number four, airlines. And category number five, arts and literature. All right, a round of golf. A round of golf, pick a number between 10 and 20. Treasure trove, arts and literature. Airlines. Who's going to kick us off tonight? Paul from Geelong is first up and is going to take the first ball. Hello, Paul.
G'day, Phil. How are you going?
Not bad. Not bad at all. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. Surviving the week so far.
You going to survive the weekend? You got an action-packed weekend planned?
Well, an action-packed. I've got a few things on. Keep an eye on the footy. All of that, Paul.
All pretty standard.
All pretty standard, exactly. Exactly.
As long as you enjoy it, Phil.
Thank you, mate. I hope you're the same. Now, what do you like here? Round of golf, pick a number between 10 and 20, treasure trove, arts and literature, airlines.
We might as well play a round of golf, though.
Why not? I think, actually, speaking of golf, I think that in the next majors on this weekend, too, isn't it? The US PGA Championship in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think it's... did I hear that it's Adam Scott's 100th major in a row without missing one?
I think it is, isn't it? Is it? If it's not, I think the next one is.
Yeah, which puts him, I think the only player who's played more in a row was Jack Nicklaus.
Was Jack Nicklaus, that's right, exactly. Jack Nicklaus is the next one, yeah. It's quite amazing, actually, isn't it, if you think about it.
Particularly in modern sport where athletes are so finely tuned and a little bit prone to breaking down as a result of it.
Yeah, I agree. He should have won more, Adam Scott, but good on him. He's been an amazingly consistent player.
Yeah.
Alrighty, a round of golf it is. Which country tops the Olympic golf medal tally?
Assume the USA, but I don't know, Phil.
Yeah, correct. It is the US. You would presume correctly, Paul.
Yeah, sometimes I get lucky.
I don't think that golf should be in the Olympics anyway, but it is. Question number two. We're in a round of golf.
Yeah, stay there, Phil.
To the nearest hole number, what is the average golf handicap for women in Australia?
For women? I don't know. Pretty sure the average for men is 18, but I don't think that would probably be the case for women. I might go 22.
Not close. I might have considered it as close. What's your handicap, Paul?
Oh, I don't play anymore, Phil, but I managed to get down to 4 when I did play.
Oh, wow. Okay. You're really good.
What are you playing off those days, Phil?
I've got a severe handicap, Paul. It's called an inability to give the game away, which I should. My handicap's in the low 20s, Paul.
Yeah, did you take it up as a young person, as a child?
Yeah,
or
that's right. That's how stupid I am. I took it up as a teenager. How stupid am I?
Yeah, okay. Or you might have been a bit lower if that was the case, Phil.
Stop it. Stop it.
But it's interesting. Like, if you take something up as a child, I think you can always get better at it than if you take it up as an adult. And if you take it up as a child and then...
And then you're no good at it. And then you're no good at it. Most sensible people give it away, Paul, don't they?
Yeah, well, you can put the sticks back in the cupboard for 10 years, so I'm pulling back out and generally... after a couple of years, start playing all right again. But you can't do that if you take it up as an adult, I don't think.
Thank you, Paul. Goodbye.
No worries, Phil.
Goodbye.
See you later.
Goodbye. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Marion from Wishart. Hello, Marion.
G'day.
Are you a golfer, Marion?
Very bad left-handed digger.
Oh, you play left-handed. You're very muffled on the phone there, Marion. Can you get into the receiver a bit?
Hang on. Can you hear me better?
Not much, no.
No? Well, I'm deaf. You must be deaf too.
And hello to you. Hey, to the nearest hole number.
Hang on. Oh, bugger.
Oh, have you got a hearing? Aid, Ab? You got a hearing aid, Mary?
Hey,
have you got a hearing aid?
Well, I've got a hearing aid.
Yeah.
Well, I have, but I don't use it.
Oh, okay. Tell me, to the nearest hole number, what's the average golf handicap for women in Australia?
You said something about 18 for men, didn't you?
Oh, I didn't say anything.
Yeah, you did.
No, Paul said something.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll say 28.
Not 28. Thanks, Marion. Bye-bye. Not 28. Anne from Caulfield. Hello, Anne.
Hi, how are you going?
Question number two, a round of golf. To the nearest hole number, what's the average golf handicap?
Question two, I missed question one. Okay. I haven't even got a clue what a handicap means. So it's obviously somewhere in the 20s. Let's say 26.
It's not 26. No.
Okay.
No. Thanks. Thank you. Should we? Yeah. We could. Well, I suppose we could do a near and a close to Scott from Talk. G'day, Scott.
Hey, Phil. How you going?
Pretty good. To the nearest hole number, what's the average golf handicap for women in Australia?
I'll have a stab. 28.
We've had a 28, so I'll give you one more chance.
All right, 27.
Oh, no.
the other way, righto.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Scott, you know what? You've lipped out.
Thank you. Thank
See
you,
mate. Bye-bye. 1-300-800-222 is my number. Where are we? David from Barrel. G'day, David.
Yeah, good evening, Phil. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad. Some nice courses around where you are, actually.
Yeah, I played on one a couple of weeks ago. It was good.
Oh, yeah. Which one?
Just Barrel.
The Barrel golf course, yeah. Oh, I've played this. Nice. Oh, very nice. To the nearest hole number, what's the average golf handicap for women in Australia?
29.
29, yes, that's right. Yes, I wanted his putt to break the other way, but it didn't.
Mm.
Okay, 29. In fact, 28.62 is the exact number, apparently. For men, I think, I believe it's 23. So, you know, it's funny, isn't it? Nobody's particularly good at the game. I mean,
it is a fun, addictive sport to play.
It's very addictive. I know. I agree. Hey, question number three: a round of golf is where we are, but you can.
I wouldn't mind flicking to airlines.
Airlines, okay. Airlines, it is. Are you in the game yourself, David?
Of airlines, no, but I've got a few friends in this part of the world who work for them. Yeah.
Here we go. Question number three. What was the fitting mythological name of Greece's first national airline? It began in 1930 and went bankrupt within a few months.
And it was Greek.
What was the fitting mythological name of Greece's first national airline? It began in 1930, went bust within a few months.
Okay, so I've got that. That guy who flew too close to the sun in mind. But that's not a good name to call an airline. And I can't think of a winged god in Greek. Yeah. I'm just going to give everyone a laugh and say Icarus.
Correct. It was. It was called Icarus. I don't think you really, if you had any brains, you'd call an airline Icarus, would you? Like, really?
No, that's why I thought it was just a bit of a crazy idea. But hey, look,
that's right. Steve from Morty Alex says, Phil, at the Olympics, does the caddy get a medal as well as the successful player? I don't think so, Steve. But I don't know. I don't know.
Mm.
I don't think so. If you win a major championship, the caddy doesn't get the money.
All right.
I think the player has to pay the caddy a bit like a jockey on a horse, I think.
Yeah, commission. Yeah.
Correct. Question number four. We're in airlines. You can move or you could stay. No, go somewhere. I'll stay. In 1993, Ansett Australia launched its first international service. To which Southeast Asian destination?
Southeast Asian, Ansett, 93, Bali, so like Denpasar, Bali?
Bali is correct, yeah.
Yes,
yes, cool. It went to Bali. All right, question number five. We're in airlines. Indonesia's national airline takes its name from a giant bird of Hindu and Buddhist mythology. What's the name of the airline?
Garuda.
Garuda.
Yeah, I flew with them once when I was a little kid.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah,
I flew in a Garuda flight once from Bali back to Australia, and there was the door of the captain's cabin, you know, the flight deck, was broken and was missing.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that good about it.
Phil, I've had a few similar ones. Yeah.
I thought, hey, guys, come on. This is pretty basic maintenance. Jason in Port Douglas says, Phil, I had to laugh when your caller declared I have a hearing aid but don't use it. Remember Mrs. Richardson, the guest at Fawlty Towers, who refused to use a hearing aid because it runs down the batteries?
Yep, that's a classic.
Dear, Ray in the Bay had Garuda. Karen had Garuda. Annette from Perth had Garuda. Plenty of other people too. All righty, we're up to question number six. We're in airlines.
Yep, we'll keep going.
What are the two flag carriers of the UAE?
Of the UAE?
Hmm.
Okay.
The United Arab Emirates.
Yep, same place to me. I'll just talk it through. So UAE, you'd have Qatar and...
Not correct. Yep, sorry, no. Thanks, David. No, not correct. Charlie from Mount Druid. G'day, Charlie.
Hello, Phil. Good to be with you.
Likewise, Charlie. How you doing? All right?
I'm pretty good. How's yourself?
Oh, not bad.
How's your day been?
My day's been pretty good, Charlie, yeah.
You've been busy?
Of course. Every day's brilliant, Charlie. You've got to, you know, savour it.
Yeah. So what? I just want to diverse, and what are your hobbies?
Well, you already know about one. That's flogging a little white ball.
All right.
And apart from that, the program's my hobby, Charlie. So
who are you a member of? Where are you a member of?
All over the joint. I've played all over the place.
Yeah,
Charlie. So I enjoyed it. Have you ever played?
I used to, but I used to play regular, but I don't drive, so I used to rely on people to get me to there and there.
Yeah, to get to the links
and I used to play probably once a week or maybe twice, but I used to really. Unless you play, you don't know how hard it is.
Correct. That's right. Now, Charlie, tell me, what are the two flag carriers of the UAE?
Yes. That's it. So is it Emirates? And... I really can't think of the other one, unless that's wrong, but...
No. All right, Charlie, we better leave it. Thank you.
All right, mate, you have a good night.
Yeah, you too. 1-300-800-222. Okay, Steve from Leicester. G'day, Steve.
Good morning, Bill.
Question number six. What are the two flag carriers of the United Arab Emirates?
I'm going to say Emirates and No, United.
No, it's not United. Thanks, Steve. No, it's not. It's not United. Tom from Hawthorne. G'day, Tom.
Good evening, Phil.
Evening. Good evening. Evening and evening. Question number six. What are the two flag carriers of the United Arab Emirates?
Well, majority have said Emirates and the other one's Etihad.
Correct. Yes, Emirates and Etihad. Very good. All right, question number seven. One left in here. What, yeah, go on.
Could I have the categories, please? I haven't quite heard them all.
That's all right. We're in airlines. There's one left in airlines. Otherwise, you could move to arts and literature, a round of golf, pick a number between 10 and 20, or treasure trove.
Let's go golfing.
A round of golf. Okay. Question seven. Are you a golfer yourself, Tom?
Yeah, I try to get out as much as I can, which is not as often as I want.
That is true of every golfer, Tom. Tell me whether you're getting better or worse.
So my clubs got stolen.
Your clubs got stolen?
Yeah, my car got stolen. My clubs are in the back, so currently clubless.
Oh no!
Yeah,
is that still the case? Stolen? No car, no clubs?
Yeah, correct.
Gee, that's grim.
Yeah, the dirty streets of Hawthorne got me.
You should say if you send back the clubs, you can keep the car. It's more important.
Correct.
Alrighty. All right. Well, should we do a GoFundMe for Tom? No, we won't do that. No.
Insurance have got it eventually.
Oh, have they? Okay, good. Yeah. Oh, you can upgrade in that case, Tom.
I won't tell them that though.
Question number seven. A round of golf. In which of the majors is the winner awarded the Wanamaker Trophy?
That's US Open, is it?
Not correct.
Oh, whoops.
No, whoops. Thanks, Tom. Hope you get swinging soon. See you, mate. Glenn from Penrith. Hello, Glenn.
There you go, I'm all right.
Not too bad. I'm not picking you as a golfer, right. Glenn. Is that fair or not?
Yeah, I'm very knowledgeable with golf, but I wouldn't have got the women's handicap one. I was thinking 33 or 35 or something.
Oh, yeah, no, 29.
Probably. But if I got on when you basically said it was 29, I would have been right.
Yes.
But it's a bit of a silly question.
Why?
That should be a question like pick a number between 20 and 30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a... It was basically just to guess a number, wasn't it?
Hey, stop complaining. Stop complaining now and answer the questions. Question number seven, a round of golf. In which of the majors is the winner awarded the Wanamaker Trophy?
The one that's on the PGA, US PGA.
Correct, yes. The PGA Championship, which is
Smith started off all right.
Actually, sorry?
Cameron Smith started off all right.
Oh, I haven't been watching. What's happened? Because it's actually begun, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, the first groups through about no one else right here.
Okay.
Somewhere early in the back nine and that. But Cam's 2 under after 8 or something. He was 3 under, he dropped one.
Oh, good. Well, good luck to him too.
Anyway, I think 3 under's leading at the moment.
He's going to need somewhere to go when LIV Golf collapses or when...
Yeah, well, I'm sure he's not struggling.
No, we're not going to have a benefit for him. No, that's true.
No.
Question number 8, a round of golf is where we are. You can move.
Oh, no, I'll stay there, mate.
Which US president has the lowest golf handicap?
Donald Trump.
Yes, he does. We know this because he's told us.
Yeah, he told us 1,000 times, hasn't he?
He's got a handicap, if you believe it, which I don't.
It's about 4.
3. 2.8. Ranges between 2.5 to 2.8, he says. Mind you, his handicap's kept at the golf clubs he owns. So,
yeah, sorry about my voice at the moment, but I've watched him swing the club. I can't see he's a 3-marker.
No, he's not a 3-marker. He can play. He can play.
Yeah, anyway.
Question number 9, last one in round of golf.
Yeah, I'll try it.
Lydia Ko has won gold, silver and bronze medals in golf at the last 3 Olympics. Which country does she represent?
New Zealand.
Correct. Lydia Ko is a New Zealand player. Very good player too.
She's a beauty too.
She is, yes. Question number 10.
I'm happy I've just knocked off the golf.
Yeah. All right. So we're left with pick a number between 10 and 20, Treasure Trove, Arts and Literature, or Airlines.
Oh, I thought you'd finished Airlines.
No.
No, I'll go to 10 and 20, mate.
Pick a number between 10 and 20. In Italy, heptadecaphobia is the fear of which number?
Oh. Is that 17?
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Hept.
Well, I got that from hept, which is something like seven or something in some language.
Yes, heptadecaphobia is the fear of which number? It's the number 17.
I'm rattling these off.
Going well. All right. Question number.
No invitation or anything. I'm just bang.
Question number 12. Pick a number between 10 and 20.
Yeah.
How many legs does an isopod such as a wood louse have?
A wood what?
A wood louse.
Ooh.
How many legs does an isopod, such as a woodlouse, have?
I don't know it much, but I'll just say six.
Not six. Nah. No, thanks, Glenn.
Oh, no, it's between 10 and 20, isn't it?
I don't know why I give people the categories. That's right. See you later. See you, mate. Bye-bye. It happens all the time, I know. Plenty of comments on the text line about Trump's handicap. There was an interesting article once, I think it was in Sports Illustrated, about Donald Trump's golf. And people had looked at, they interviewed a lot of people who'd played with him, including Sergio Garcia, who said, I've played with him, and he can play. But he said, I reckon his handicap's about 15, which probably is about right. Annette from Perth, correct to this one, yes. Trump has other handicaps, say many texters. Well, let's not go there. This is a Donald Trump free zone for the moment. Trevor from Croydon Park. Hello, Trev.
Hi, Phil.
We're in a category called pick a number between 10 and 20. How many legs does an isopod, such as a woodlouse, have?
So iso means equal. So it's something divisible by two. I'll say 12.
Not 12. Thanks, Trev. Not 12. Linda from Semaphore. Hi, Linda.
Oh, hello, Phil.
How you doing?
Oh, yeah, it's been a trying week this week, but I'm looking forward to the weekend.
You got something planned, Linda?
No. That's the whole point.
Oh, yeah, I like weekends like that too.
Mm. Yep, I'm going to do absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Yeah, I love weekends like that, when you've got absolutely nothing on, or you've only got, or you've got one thing on that you actually are really looking forward to.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to sleeping in.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Mm.
Nothing wrong with that.
Mm.
Full mark of approval from me. Question 12. Pick a number between 10 and 20. How many legs does an isopod, such as a woodlouse, have?
10.
Not 10. No. Mm. Thank you, Linda. How many legs does an isopod have? That doesn't help you. Nigel from Perth. Hi, Nigel.
G'day, Phil. How are you?
Good. Yes, very well. Good. Question 12.
Good.
Pick a number between 10 and 20. How many legs does an isopod, such as a woodlouse, have?
Well, I'm going to thank the previous gentleman for pointing out the equal bit. So I'm going to say 16.
Not correct.
Well, short and sweet, Phil.
Short and sweet, Nigel. Everyone knows they must be close, though, don't they? Thanks, Nigel. Bye. See you later. Tom from Dirabandi. G'day, Tom.
Hi there, Phil.
Hello, hello, hello. Question 12. We mightn't have many left here. Pick a number between 10 and 20. How many legs does an isopod, such as a woodlouse, have?
Well, grade A,
science class at Dirranbendi Pedan State School.
Yes.
We learn about this, and I think it's 14.
Correct, it is. It is. Do you really seriously remember something from you learned in primary school science
well,
class?
It was very, very strange at the time, but anyway, it's stuck in my memory, that's for sure.
I think that's astonishing that you could remember something from science class in primary school. The only thing I remember from primary school was in geography when we did a project on coffee. And I went up and down the street collecting people's old labels off coffee jars and I stuck them all over the poster.
Oh, that's all right.
And someone, for some reason, the teacher thought that was great. Whereas I think it was slightly moronic, wasn't it? But I can't remember anything. I can't remember anything about science class. I don't think we got. Did we have science in primary school? I don't think we did.
Mightn't have had science there back in your day, Phil.
No, nothing. It was a science-free zone. The schools I went to were probably were pretty much an education-free zone for lots of times too, Tom. Hey, question 13. We're picking a number. Do you want to stay there?
I'll go airlines, please.
Yeah, we've got one left in airlines. What type of bird appears in the logos for Lufthansa, Japan Airlines, and Shanghai Airlines?
Shanghai, Lufthansa. And what was the other one, sorry?
What type of bird appears in the logos for Lufthansa, Japan Airlines, and Shanghai Airlines?
All right, eh? Well, I'd be, it's not a, well, it's a bit of a lanky sort of bird. Would it be a crane?
Correct, it is, yes. It's a crane. Very good. All right, that's it for airlines, no more. So we've got arts and literature. Pick a number between 10 and 20. Treasure Trove.
We'll go Treasure Trove.
Treasure Trove it is. According to North Korean state media, says my texter.
Oh, dear.
Reporting of sources is very important. According to North Korean state media, Kim Jong-il famously shot 38 under par and achieved 11 holes in one during his very first round of golf in 1994 at the Pyongyang golf course. Gee, that was a good round.
Yeah.
Very good round. Question number 13.
Well, wasn't 38 under par?
38 under par.
Oh, far out. Yeah, right, eh? He was there flying an aeroplane there not long ago.
And he achieved 11 holes in one. That's pretty good going, isn't it?
Very good going.
Man, he must have a good swing. Good on Kim Jong-il. Well done, old son. Very good.
Right. We've got to be careful what we say, Phil.
Yes. Question 13. At all times, Tom, about most things. We don't care about that here on the program. Are we in Treasure Trove or not?
Treasure Trove, yeah.
Yeah. Which 1948 Western, right, which 1948 Western stars Humphrey Bogart as drifter Fred C. Dobbs?
The drifter, Fred. Look, I think that's got me stumped, Phil.
See you, Tom.
Sorry, but anyway, good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye. All right. Ian from Dover in Tassie.
Good morning, Phil.
Morning. Question number 13. Ingrid from Melanda says, is the bird with a long cascading tail a crane? Does a crane have a long cascading tail? Don't think so, does it? Yeah. Robin says, what did coffee have to do with geography? Well, exactly, Robin. Treasure Trove, Ian. Question 13.
Yep.
Which 1948 Western stars Humphrey Bogart as drifter Fred C. Dobbs?
Yes, that's a very good question. Yes, one of the better ones.
We're in a category called Treasure Trove.
Treasure Troves. My little brain's coming up with the treasure of the Sierra Nagre.
Of the Sierra what?
Nagre. I don't know.
Say it again.
The treasure of the Sierra Mountains.
See, what am I going to do here? I'll give it to you. You've got a third. I mean, I hate to be harsh, Ian, but I often am.
Oh, no. But if I've got within 3 kilometres of a correct answer, I'm going to go outside and congratulate myself and then come back and ring up again.
Which 1948 Western stars Humphrey Bogart as drifter Fred C. Dobbs?
The Treasure of the Sierra Madre. I don't know.
I'm going to give it to you. The Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
Oh, where in the...
I don't know why I'm giving it to you.
Where did that come from?
I do not know why I'm giving it to you, because your answer was technically incorrect.
Correct.
It wasn't Nagre. It wasn't Nagre. It was Madre, but still.
I'm blind. Give me a break.
Oh, you're not playing the blind card on me.
Well, for that question, is that or I'm prescient?
Oh, dear. He's played the blind card. Okay, the rest of these are just movie questions.
Yeah, good.
Question 14.
Hang on, what other choices have I got? Thank you for your generosity.
It's a pleasure. Question 14. We're in Treasure Trove. We could pick a number between 10 and 20. We could explore arts and literature. It's up to you.
Arts and literature.
Arts and literature. Question.
I don't know anything about that either.
Question 14. Used until 1995, the original name for which famous Dutch painting included the word turban based on its subject's headwear?
That's a piece of art we're talking about, isn't it?
We're in a category called arts and literature.
Yeah, arts and literature.
It used until 1995, the original name for which famous Dutch painting included the word turban based on its subject's headwear.
Headwear, yes. The Girl in the Bazaar.
I thought you had it then, but you don't. No. Thanks, Ian.
Thank you, Phil.
Regards to you and the hound.
Thank you.
See ya. Bye. Dear. All righty. James in Frankston. G'day, James.
Oh, g'day. How are we? Sorry.
Very well. Very well. Anne's got the right answer here. Jim in Campbelltown. Harry in the Bay. Good. Amanda from Newcastle. Correct. Chris in the Southern Border says, just back on Kim Jong-il, I think one of the Kim family has also bowled back-to-back perfect games of 10-pin bowling. Yeah, well, that's
pretty... Is that self-reported?
That's not bad, though, is it? I mean, Kim Jong-il's 38 under par with 11 holes in one was pretty good. But, you know, back-to-back perfect games of 10-pin bowling is pretty good. They're not bad, the Kims, are they? Good sports people. Question 14.
Would it be slightly inflated figures, though, do you think?
See, James, that kind of talk can you're gone. Single shot to the back of the head. Bye.
Oh, look. And I think I'm going to have to bow out with that one.
No good?
No good. I'm picturing a girl, but I don't think that's right either. But, no, you can just pass that one on. I'll call back tomorrow night.
See you, James. Bye-bye. Okay, leniency during the Mighty Challenge. Who is this impersonator and what have you done with Phil, says Dave from North Mead. Oh, come on, Dave. I think that would have been unnecessarily. I agree, but that would have been unnecessarily harsh. I like being harsh, but only with, you know, with right and justice. Anyway, maybe I'm wrong about that. It's probably made it worse for everyone following now, hasn't it? Colin from Layla in Melbourne. G'day, Col.
Hey, good morning, Phil. Gee, you got an interesting bunch of questions tonight.
Question 14, arts and literature. Used until 1995, the original name for which famous Dutch painting included the word turban based on its subject's headwear.
I think it was the girl with the derby hat. That's about all I can think of. I'm running out of ideas. I think I might go back to doing Wordle.
Okay. See, have you got it out yet?
Oh, yes, I did get it out in four, yeah.
In four, okay, not bad.
Yeah, the pretty easy
no
one.
Spoiler, yeah. No spoiler.
No.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Thanks.
Right, see you. Catch you later. Bye.
1-300-800-222 is the number. Jane from Homebush, no, that's not right. Barbara from Perth's got the right answer. Who else? Plenty of other people have, actually. Pat from The Point has got the right answer. Loz in Lynham. Sorry, Loz, you've been waiting on there. Hello.
That's all right.
Used until 1995, the original name for which famous Dutch painting included the word turban, based on its subject's headwear.
Well, there's a Rembrandt one called something like Portrait of a Man in a Red Turban.
Not correct. I hope everyone's understanding the question here. Heather from Nil. Hello, Heather.
Good evening, Phil.
Arts and Literature.
I hope I'm right. It's Vermeer, the girl with the pearl earring.
Correct. Very good, Heather.
One question that you've asked that I actually know the answer to.
Used until 1995, the original name for girl with a pearl earring included the word
turban, wasn't it?
Yeah, girl with a turban. But it's been known since then as girl with a pearl earring. All righty, question number 11, 12, 13. Question number 14.
Can we stick to art?
We can, yes.
Right.
Which American artist had a studio in New York City called The Factory from 1964 until his death in 1987?
Andy Warhol,
correct. To keep all the soup cans in there, I guess.
I guess so. All the cartoons of Marilyn.
Yeah, the cartoons of Marilyn. Karen from Mullumbimby makes
a good... I wonder if it improved Campbell's sales.
That's an interesting point. I wonder whether it did. What flavour soup was it? That's, do you remember? Was it tomato soup, wasn't it? I think it was tomato.
I don't know.
We're talking about the famous Campbell soup can pictures. Yeah,
that one.
I think it was tomato soup, I assume so. Karen from Mullumbimby makes a good point. She said, I've also read, speaking of the Kim family sporting prowess, I've also read that Kim Jong-il had run under 10 seconds in the 100 metres. They are an astonishing family. They certainly are. Question 15. Staying with arts.
Oh, yes, please.
Which big cat appears in the famous Henri Rousseau painting, Surprised?
Henri Rousseau. A tiger.
Correct. Very good.
God, what a lot of useless information I got doing art.
What level did you study at, Heather?
Year 12.
Oh, okay. What was your major project? A painting and a sculpture or what?
I was absolutely lousy at painting, but I got the job of assembling all the canvases.
Yeah.
Because the other girls didn't want to use a hammer.
Yeah, but hang on, you can't pass year 12 for nailing frames together.
No, I did leather work.
Oh, leather work. Okay. Have you still got your piece?
No, I haven't. No.
Do you remember what it was?
Huge.
It was a massive.
It was. I did a saddlebag with gum leaves on it. That was one piece.
Yeah.
I did, which was, and then I did a lampshade with leather plaited tassels on it.
Oh yeah.
And what else? And I did a massive handbag with a baby. In the bush, carved into it, embossed into it.
Wow.
What else did I did a whole heap of plaited stuff as well.
You could have been the forget the Tenterfield Saddler, you could have been the Nil Saddler.
Yeah.
Good on you. All right, question 16. Have you kept up your leather work or not? Not really.
Oh, not really. Plaiting's pretty hard on the hands.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, tension, but... I had a go at whip making. That's really hard.
Oh, whip making. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amanda from Newcastle says, Cressida Campbell was in my high school art class. How about that? Wow. Cressida Campbell, of course, is a very renowned artist these days.
Mm.
Question 16 in arts and literature. We've got two left here. Do you want to keep going?
Absolutely. It's the only section I've got any hope in.
better known for his villanelles. What Welsh author of Under Milkwood wrote military propaganda during World War II?
I think you've stumped me. A Welsh author. Not George Bernard Shaw. He was Irish. No, I think you've got me.
Sorry, Heather, but thank you for the story about the leather work.
Yeah, sorry, I bored you witless.
No, you did not. Thank you. See you. Bye. See you later. All righty. Better known for his villanelles, what Welsh author of Under Milkwood wrote military propaganda during World War II? Betty from Daptoe. Hi, Bet.
Hello, Phil. How are you?
Not bad. How's the whole family? How's Adrian?
He's good.
How's Fred?
Fred's good. He's been working hard lately.
Has he?
Went up and down the stairs a bit, yes.
Oh, good on you. I like Fred's ups and downs, you know.
Yes.
He always...
Have you been keeping?
Oh, I've been keeping very well, thank you, Betty. Thanks for asking. No, I've been in very excellent shape.
And the girls are well?
Girls are really well, yeah. No, I was talking to one of them today, actually. No, really well.
Oh, that's lovely.
Well, I've been on a strict diet, Betty, because while I was away, I ate too much.
Oh, so what do you eat for a strict diet?
What I'm eating is...
Duck under the table.
What I'm eating is... unfortunately, last night I did succumb and I had to have a bacon and egg roll on the way home.
Oh, I heard about that.
Oh, come on.
Everybody was getting hungry.
Oh, man. The one I had wasn't actually all that good because, you know, getting one at that hour of the morning, it's everyone's a bit tired. But still, I whacked it down. It was good. Betty, I'm eating a lot of fish and salad. There you go.
That's lovely.
I know. It's a bit, you know.
Well, it's still good enough weather for salad because, you know, we're still getting nice warm days.
Yeah. I've got to lose a bit of pud, Betty.
Yeah, we had a nice casserole for tea last night.
Oh, did you have? What sort?
Well, we had lamb steaks and then lots of veggies.
Yeah, like an Irish stew.
Yes, yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was very nice.
I do like an Irish stew, actually.
Yes, and it's filling and it's very nutritious.
It is very nutritious. Good on you, Betty. Question 16, arts and literature. Better known for his villanelles, what Welsh author of Under Milkwood wrote military propaganda during World War II?
No, I've got no idea about a Welsh. I knew the lady with the pearl earring.
Oh, yeah, girl with a pearl earring. Okay, well, nice chatting, Bet, and glad to hear you well. Good on you.
And you take care.
See ya. Bye.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Betty. Betty from Daptoe. Cameron from South Perth. Hi, Cameron.
Yeah, how are you? I'm still in Geelong here.
Well, that's right. That's good. When are you going back?
Sunday.
Sunday, okay. How are you getting back? Flying?
Oh, yeah, flying, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I hope the jet's got enough fuel to get there, Cameron. This is your captain speaking. Due to the fact that we've run out of gas, we'll be landing in Ceduna. Make your own way home.
Yeah, start walking again.
Start walking, that's right. Question 16, better known for his villanelles, what Welsh author of Under Milkwood wrote military propaganda during World War II?
Wells.
No, not Wells.
Okay.
Sorry, thank Cameron. You. Thank you. Have a good trip home. Ashley says next we'll be reading that Kim Jong-un has cleared 10 metres in the pole vault. Well, he probably has. I don't know. They're a very, very powerful sporting family. Ray from Yeranga. G'day, Ray.
Hi, Phil.
Question number 16. Better known for his villanelles, what Welsh author of Under Milkwood wrote military propaganda during World War II?
Yeah, I don't think I know any Welsh. How many magnets do you reckon Kim Jong-un has won?
Oh, that's a good point. You see, he often rings up, but Dave's not that keen to put him on.
Okay.
So, I mean, I've been getting into Dave a bit about this because they said, look, this bloke is a golf champion. He's a world champion sprinter. And, you know, like he could clean up the black magnet in a flash.
Yeah, he'd have a few black ones, I reckon.
I reckon, yeah. Well, that's if Dave would put him. That's if Dave, yeah, well, that's if Dave would put him on. But every night, you know, when the call comes in from North Korea, Dave says, nah. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Questions?
I rang for 10 to 20 or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can go there if you can answer this one. Better known for his villanelles. Well, what Welsh author of Under Milkwood wrote military propaganda during World War II?
Yeah, no, I don't know who wrote Under Milkwood. Well, it's not James Joyce, is it? He's Irish, isn't he? So anyway, I can't help you.
No good. All right. Thanks, Ray. See ya. Thanks. Bye. Chris in the Southern Border says, Phil, maybe you would have enjoyed the prosciutto, rocket, and basil pizza more. Yeah, the egg and bacon roll was all right. Wasn't great. But I don't blame anybody. I mean, you know, if you're making them at 2:30 in the morning, it's not that good. Jim in Campbelltown. That's very nice, Jim. Yes, well, we shall pass that on. Pandora from Sapphire Beach. Hi, Pandora.
Oh, where are you going?
Hello, are you on the speakerphone there or something?
I am on the speakerphone. I will take you off.
Here we go. Question 16, better known for his villadels. What Welsh author of Under Milkwood wrote military propaganda during World War II?
I think it was Dylan Thomas.
Correct, it is. Yeah, it was Dylan Thomas. Do not go gentle into that good nightlife, says Jim in Campbelltown. Ash had Dylan Thomas. Sue from Perth had Dylan Thomas. Lisa in the mountains had Dylan Thomas, and so did Annette from Perth. All right, Pandora, question number 17. Do you want to stay here in arts and literature, or you could move to Treasure Trove or Treasure Trove, or pick a number?
Let's pick a number.
Pick a number between 10 and 20. What is the atomic number of argon?
Argon, 10 and 20. Trying to remember that stupid song. 15.
Not 15. Sorry, Pandora.
It's okay.
See ya. Not 15. Louise from Melbourne. Hello, Louise.
Hi.
What's the atomic number of argon? Pick a number between 10 and 20. It's not 15.
I think it might be 14.
Not 14. No. Sorry, Louise. No, it's not 14. Malcolm from Bunbury in New South Wales. G'day, Malcolm.
Oh, good morning, Phil. How are we doing?
Pretty good, yeah. Pick a number between 10 and 20. What's the atomic number of argon?
Yeah, I was mainly ringing off for the gold farmer questions that you know, I missed out because, yeah, used to be a professional when I was younger, but I'm retired. I'm undefeated.
Used to be a professional golfer?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, good on you. Yeah.
You know, every game I got over 100 and no one even came close to me.
Oh, that kind of professional. That's right. Chipper on King Island says Kim Jong-un would only win an eating competition. he's got a fair bit of pudding. That's true, Chipper. That's true. Question 17. Pick a number between 10 and 20. What's the atomic number of argon, Malcolm? It's not 14. It's not 15.
Okay, it's an even one, I'm pretty sure. 18.
Not 18, no. All right, thanks, Malcolm. We'll move on. Who's got the answer here? Not very many people, actually. No, Susan, it's not 18. No, John from Mitcham had 18. No, it's not. It's not 18. Tash from North Bendigo, that's not correct either. Peter from South Melbourne. Hi, Peter. G'day, Pete.
Hello.
Hello. Question 17, what's the atomic number of argon? It's not 14, 15 or 18. Pick a number between 10 and 20.
I'll say 20, Phil.
No, it's not 20. We had to run out of numbers here, haven't we? We are going to run out of numbers. Latif says, Phil, I think Bob Dylan got his name from Dylan Thomas. I think that's probably right, actually. I think it's because, what was he? He was born Bob Robert Zimmerman, wasn't he? I think that's true, actually. I think he called himself Dylan after Dylan Thomas. Richard Burton does a very good and very Welsh Under Milkwood. He does. He does. The night was Bible black. Ash in New South Wales says, Dylan Thomas created the fictitious town of Larragub, which sounds Welsh until you read it backwards. That's true. Jane from Homebush, that's not correct. Hang on, have we made a mistake here? I hope we haven't, because that means, oh dear, I wonder whether we have. We have, my apologies. Slim from Darwin.
Hello.
G'day, Slim. We have made an apologies. Our number is not correct, and we've had a guess of 18 already, so we shall say that question was answered correctly. Sorry, Slim. And apologies to the person who answered question number 17 correctly. Question number 18, pick a number between 10 and 20, or you can move. Up to you.
I'll stick with between 10 and 20, thanks.
Pick a number between 10 and 20. How many pawns are there on the board at the start of a game of chess?
Oh, 10.
Not 10. No, sorry. Not 10, no. David from Singleton had Argon as 18. Annette from Perth says, yes, you have made a mistake. Oh, no, we don't like to do this, but we have. It might have been, it could have been just a misprint in taking the questions down too, I suspect. My apologies. Amanda from Newcastle, no, Harry in the Bay. Yes, Harry in the Bay, that's correct. Amanda from Newcastle, that is also correct for this question. Yeah, no, Annabelle, I've got it. Yes, the atomic number of argon is 18. Agreed. Joe from Dandenong. Joe, g'day.
Well, it's Mount Dandenong too.
How many pawns are there on the board at the start of a game of chess?
When I last played chess, there were 16 of them.
Correct, there are 16. I'll leave you on hold, Joe, because we'll take the rest of the questions after the news. The Mighty Challenge. Where we were up to question number 20. Joe from Mount Dandenong was up on deck and joins us again. G'day, Joe.
Hello, good to see you back again, Phil.
Yes, well, good to be back. We're still smarting from making an error with argon. But anyway,
I thought there was something fishy there. There's eight across the periodic table, I think, if
I know. Well, look, I know it hardly ever happens, but it should never happen. But anyway, look.
Things happen. Worse happens at sea.
Kim Jong-un would never have made a mistake like that, you know. You know, Joe? Actually, he would never, ever have made an error like that. I don't know why in the, you know, Olympics there isn't a special ceremony to mark his sporting achievements when you think about it. Question 20, we're in pick a number between 10 and 20. You could stay there or you could move to Treasure Trove or Arts and Literature. We've got one left in Arts and Literature.
Don't like Arts and Literature, but let's stay with the pick a numbers because that gives... Even a stab in the dark is 1 in 11 chance of being right.
Oh, you're going to play it like that, eh? All right, pick a number between 10 and 20.
I have to use the dartboard occasionally.
Speaking of which, what's the highest number that appears on a dartboard?
Highest number is a 20.
Correct. You weren't sure there, Joe.
Yeah, I've seen the numbers gives the bullseye, but that's not numbered.
That's not numbered. Question 21. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 left. There are 4 in Treasure Trove and 1 in Arts and Literature.
Let's try Treasure Trove, please.
Treasure Trove. Which English king is said to have lost some of his crown jewels in a bay called the Wash?
Oh, who got up to mischief? Probably Henry VIII.
Not Henry VIII, Joe. No.
Okay, then.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye. See you later. No, not Henry VIII. Where are we? Sam from Harvey. G'day, Sam.
Good morning, Philip. How are you?
Oh, I'm all right, Sam. Yeah, not bad. Which English king said to have lost some of his crown jewels in a bay called the Wash?
I'm tossing up between two. Richard III or... George V. I'll say George V.
Not George V. No. Sorry, Sam. All right. Thank you. Not George V. 1-300-800-222. We've got lines free. Which English king is said to have lost some of his crown jewels in a bay called the Wash. George from Melbourne, WA. G'day, George.
Hi, Phil.
Which English king are we? Which king are we?
Henry VIII.
No, we've had Henry VIII. It's not Henry VIII.
Oh, sorry. Charles
I? Not Charles I. No. Sorry. No, not Charles I. Abe from Bendigo. G'day, Abe.
How's it going?
Not bad. Question 21. Which English king is said to have lost some of his crown jewels in a bay called the Wash?
Was that King John?
King John, correct. Yes, it was. All right, four left. We've got three in Treasure Trove, one in Arts and Literature.
Let's keep trying with Treasure Trove, please.
Which type of reference book takes its name from the Greek word for treasure?
It's an encyclopedia.
Not encyclopedia. Sorry, Abe, no, not encyclopedia. 1-300-800-222. There are lines free. We've only got four left. Give it a bell. You could win from here. Peter from Elmore. Hi, Peter.
Hello. How are you, Phil?
Not bad. Four to go.
That's good. Four to go. First time. So might be the last time.
Is this your first time ever?
Yes.
Oh, Peter. Wow.
Yeah, I listen often and then and I think, oh, yeah, I know that one, but then there's so many I don't know, so.
Yeah, I know. You can have a, you can get a lucky streak, though, Peter. We always like first-timers to get one.
Well, yeah, fingers crossed.
First time, Peter from Elmore, question 22. Could he get home from here? Treasure Trove. Which type of reference book takes its name from the Greek word for treasure? It's not encyclopedia.
No, would it be... would it be thesaurus? Wrong.
Is that your answer?
That's my answer.
Correct. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Look at that.
How's that?
Thesaurus is correct. Peter, look at that.
Well done.
You've only got three to go.
I really don't mind. I've got one right.
Yeah.
And I won a few games of pool at the local pub tonight. So.
Oh, did you? Good on you.
Yeah. Have a bit of a lucky streak there. So,
oh, good on you.
But
good on
you. I don't play to win. I just play to have a bit of fun.
Oh, I like playing
enjoyment.
Pool. I like playing pool. It's fun, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's good. Yes. Yep.
Depends on who breaks. Do you like to break or not to break, Peter?
If I'm breaking well, I like to break because it really dictates the game.
Do you do the sneaky break where you just lightly glance the ball and then put the white ball up the other end of the table?
No, that's a foul break. I do. I play a little bit of competition pool.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got to hit three balls that hit the cushion. So you can't do that break.
Oh, is that right?
And I would. Yeah,
is that what? Is that in competition pool rules?
That's in the competition I'm playing in.
When you break, three balls have to hit the side cushions.
Have to hit the cushion.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Because yeah, I got quite fair. Good at the sneaky break for a while.
Yeah. No, I don't like that. I think that's it doesn't create a good game. It just becomes stagnated, I think.
Mm.
Yeah. If you're good enough, you should be able to break them up, get in there and go for it.
Go for it. All right, anyway. Pete, question 23. Let's see whether you can win this one. Treasure Trove, all right? You can stay here or you can move to the last one in Arts and Literature if you like.
I'll stay with Treasure Trove. I don't know whether I'll go any good, but you know.
Priam's treasure is a hoard of gold and copper artifacts discovered during the 1873 excavation of which ancient city?
Oh, my gosh.
1873 excavation of an ancient city. Which one?
It's a long time ago, isn't it? Ancient city.
Priam's treasure.
No, look, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to pass it on.
No good. All right, Pete.
Yeah, I'll listen with bated breath.
Good on you. Thanks, Peter.
Good night.
Good on you. Thanks, Phil. Thanks for getting one right. Jim from Bankshead Park. G'day, Jim.
Hi, Phil.
Question 23. Okay, we're at the bend here. Priam's treasure is a hoard of gold and copper artifacts discovered during the excavation in 1873 of which ancient city?
I would have preferred Thesaurus. That's what I was ringing for, but I seem to remember he was associated with Troy, so I'll go Troy.
Correct, yes. When they say they excavated Troy, do they actually know that it was Troy? I don't think they do, do they?
No, I was thinking that was an ancient city that didn't exist anymore. So, yeah.
No. Well, that's right. I think there's more truth than they're admitting, Jim. Question 24. One left in Treasure Trove, one left in Arts and Literature.
Treasure Trove. Stay with that one.
Treasure Trove. Which 2004 movie stars Nicolas Cage, Harvey Keitel and Diane Kruger? We're in a category called Treasure Trove.
Treasure. Oh, no idea. Treasured Moments.
Not Treasured Moments, no. You're right to suspect that there's treasure in it. Thanks, Jim. No. Wally from Glenfield. Hello, Wally.
Oh, hello, Phil.
Which 2004 movie stars Nicolas Cage, Harvey Keitel, Diane Kruger?
I rang up for Thesaurus. And the only thing I can think about Kruger is Kruger National Park.
No, it's not Kruger National Park. No, not Kruger National Park. Daniel from Bronte. Hi, Daniel.
Hello.
Hi. Which 2004 movie stars Nicolas Cage, Harvey Keitel, Diane Kruger? We're in a category called Treasure Trove.
I'm just thinking Kruger Island. That's one that comes to mind.
No. Not correct, sadly. Anybody know the answer to this? We're not getting a lot of correct answers. Benji from Bendigo, Treasure Planet, no. Bruce from Nolunga's got the right answer. Annette from Perth got the right answer. What about Frank from Madawi? G'day, Frank.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. Which 2004 G'day. Movie stars Nicolas Cage, Harvey Keitel, Diane Kruger?
Would it be 60 Seconds?
No. That's not 60 Seconds. No, we're in a category called Treasure Trove. All right. Marty from the Gong's got the right answer. Arnold from Perth. G'day, Arnold.
Hello, how are you?
Pretty good. Which 2004 movie stars Nicolas Cage, Harvey Keitel, Diane Kruger? We're in a category called Treasure Trove.
Is it National Treasure?
Correct. Yes, it's Yay. National Treasure. Very good. Well, here we go. Question 25, to win the magnet, the honour and the glory, Arnold. Arts and Literature. Which Mexican artist was the subject of a 2002 biopic starring Salma Hayek?
Oh, the one with the eyebrow. Is that good enough, the one with the eyebrow?
Oh. I need a name, Arnold.
Sorry, Phil.
No, good. All right, Arnold, I'm sorry about that, but we, yeah, no. no. Die from Mandra's got the right answer. Heaps of people. Harry in the Bay's got the right answer. Who's going to help us out here? Felix, that was correct too. 1-300-800-222. Anybody going to help us out for question 25? Which Mexican artist was the subject of a 2002 biopic starring Salma Hayek? Terry from Fremantle. G'day, Terry.
Hey, how you going? What's the question? I'm just
Arts and Literature is the category. Which Mexican artist was the subject of a 2002 biopic starring Salma Hayek?
Oh, my goodness. Frida. Was it Frida? Oh, which artist? The film was Frida. And I can't remember her surname for love nor money.
No good?
No good.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, Terry. That's going to be a downfall for you. Let's go to John in Perth. G'day, John.
Hello.
Hello. Who are we after?
Could it be Frida Kahlo?
It would be Frida Kahlo, wouldn't it? It would indeed. Ah, well. John, doing a Bradbury's okay.
well.
All right.
I had to ring up.
Yeah, no, good okay. on good on you. Put you on hold. We'll get some details from you. Thanks for that. Yeah, Barbara from Perth had Frida Kahlo. Fred from, where are we? Annette from Perth had Frida Kahlo. Annette had a lot of good correct ones tonight. Karen from Mullumbimby, good, yes. Jane from Homebush had National Treasure. Steve from Mordialloc. Rita Carla, no. No, it was not. All right, thanks everyone.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.